Now who's ready for some DeAndabelle? New $100,000 ring earner, Platinum 4 executive director, and just a sweet, sweet lady. Give it up for DeAndabelle.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I'm excited. As he's getting that up, I'm going to dive in, and I just felt like today I'm just going to be really transparent with you on kind of my journey, and I'm still on my journey. I don't know when that ends. It doesn't. So kind of my journey to here, and then some things that have really helped me in with his business and things like that. So I really feel like Legal Shield found me. I didn't find Legal Shield. I've always been in the legal field. However, before I was even a paralegal, I managed property. I managed property in Salt Lake and then property in Park City for 20-something years. So for many years, I did that as well. So then I was a paralegal while doing that, having kids, raising kids. And then I went to court reporting college at night and became a court reporter. And court reporting, you know, I was doing a lot, doing the court reporting, raising kids, managing apartments. So I was crazy busy. But a couple of things happened. One is that we decided that we would start opening an arcade. I wasn't busy enough, so we thought we'll open a business in Park City. So we opened an arcade. We thought that'd be a great place for our kids to work during high school and everything, give them something to do. And that was okay. We spent $100,000 or more investing in that. And that was way before the Olympics even came there. So the population was still kind of small. And so we did okay for the first year, but we started to dwindle. And then the second year didn't do so well. So we decided to not do that business anymore. And we were served, we had personally guaranteed the rent on that for, I think, 3 to 4 years. So here we got a summons and complaint. So we were sued for $75,000, and I thought, oh, let's just go before the judge. I'm a court reporter. We'll be fine. So the judge said, Mr. and Mrs. DeBell, I understand you're representing yourself. And we said, yep. And then he talked to the prosecuting attorney and said a couple more sentences, and bam, judgment against the DeBells for $75,000. Now, it's a really humbling experience. They empty your bank accounts out immediately. And then really humbling when the sheriff shows up at your door to take inventory on all of your assets and your property. So really stressful time for us. And I knew a lot of attorneys, and we had a friend. We asked him, what should we do? And he said, well, I know the best bankruptcy attorney in the state of Utah. So we called her up, and she said, I will give you 15 minutes if you bring in $1,200 cash. So got the cash together, went in, and she looked at the judgment and said, oh, I trained this attorney. Watch this. So she gets him on the phone, and she says, I have the DeBells here in my office. Either you settle for $500 right now, or you will get nothing out of the DeBells. And he said, okay, we'll settle for $500 right now. So that took care of that. Big learning experience in that you need legal counsel, right? Even if you think you're a court reporter. So another thing that happened was that I was doing okay as a court reporter financially. Again, busy with everything that I had going on. And I've noticed that a lot about people that do well in Legal Shield, they're busy people. So that's kind of a clue, too. I was doing okay, and my neighbor around the corner showed me the information you saw today. And I thought, oh, yeah, people really do need that membership. That makes sense. You know, that totally made sense to me. But I thought I was doing all right financially. I didn't understand renewable income yet at the time. And so then I found out just recently, not recently, then, that my partner, we owned a court reporting firm together, that she had racked up credit cards in our business's name without me knowing it. So So I found out that. Then I found out she was sleeping with our clients, and I'm like, ah, and we're friends with her and her husband. So that was awkward and uncomfortable, and I don't work with people like that. And I was doing a court reporting job in Reno and for a large company, and at the break, the gentleman I was sitting with at the table, you know, asked me about court reporting. And they said, and I said, actually, I've been thinking about doing this Legal Shield thing. It was called prepaid legal back then. And they said, oh, my gosh, we love prepaid legal. And they all pulled out their wallets and showed me their membership cards that they had had that benefit forever and love it. So I was in. I thought, oh, my gosh, I can do this. If they can open that account, I can open more accounts. I can do this. And then another thing happened that got me solid was that I was on the phone with someone booking a court reporting job, and he asked me why I chose court reporting. I said, well, because I was a really fast typist in business school, whatever. And he said, you know, you're really just a machine. He said, who stole your voice? And I went, you know, you're right. I'm just a machine writing everything, and I have zero voice. And that really hit me hard. And I saw the vehicle with Legal Shield that would give me a voice. I mean, it would take time and some personal development and everything, but I love it now that I feel like it's given me a voice and some power. So I love Legal Shield. So one thing that I hear a lot, and I had to handle this, I had to get over my fear. Whenever we start something new, there's some fear involved, right? So there are different kinds of fear. There is fear that is out of our control, like aging, war, being alone, natural disasters. We have a daughter that every day growing up, I'm not kidding, she would ask us, are we going to have a flood today? Are we going to have an earthquake? Are we going to have a tornado? Because she'd see it on TV or whatever. And we just had to tell her no. We had to have things in our home and our cars that to help her feel okay, you know, that if it did happen, that we'd be prepared. There are fears that involve our ego. There's rejection, success, failure, disapproval, things that make us, you know, our ego freak out. There are fears that keep us stuck, like illness, rejection, loss of a job. In the book by Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, she said that fear is instinctual. There's some fear that's instinctual and healthy. It alerts us to problems. We, you know, that's a good kind of fear to feel if we're going to be in trouble. But the other part, the fears that hold us back, are inappropriate and destructive. And you can blame it on our conditioning. You think about it, we don't send our children out the door in the morning and say, go out there, take lots of risks. You know, we just don't do that. We say, go have a safe day, come back safely. You know, so it's just in our behavior that we're taught that. So there are five truths about fear. The first one is the fear will never go away as long as I continue to grow. What we think the opposite, we think, oh, I'm going to grow when the fear is gone. But guess what? That fear is never going away until you do it and you grow in spite of the fear. It's always going to be there. I try to turn, like, I could be fearful today, but I try to turn that feeling of fear into a feeling of excitement, and that helps me. And then the second truth about fear, the only way to get rid of the fear of doing something is to go out and do it. Conquer that fear, because it's not going away. You might as well just go out and do it, and then when you do it, it's the most confident feeling you have that you did that, and you're going to be ready to go do the next thing and conquer that in spite of your fear. So I'm not real comfortable with heights. I was growing up, and then I had kids, and something happened. But I love the arch. So anyone that's been there, you know it's quite a long hike. And then before you get there, there's this part where it's straight down on one side. Granted, you can hug the rock on the other side, but I wanted to stop. But then I was told, you know what? It's just through this part. This is the only part. So I hugged the rock, and I made it around, and then, wah, it opens up, and this beautiful arch. Everyone should go and see that in person. The pictures do not do it justice. So I conquered that fear. I felt more confident. And then coming back, I hugged the side again. But it was a little easier, right? Here's another one. This is Chicago. Huge, old city. When we moved to Indiana, I had a benefit broker in Chicago that he wanted to be part of Legal Shield. So I had to get the courage up, got my toll money, go on the toll roads from Indianapolis, and I had to drive in that big, huge, old city. And it was like the downtown part, because I met him at a good old boys club or something like that. But it was so empowering when I got back. I just felt like I was on cloud nine because I had done it. I drove in that big city. And now it doesn't freak me out. I can do it. So that's just my fear. That might not be your fear. We have different ones, right? The third truth about fear, all you have to do to diminish your fear is to develop more trust in your ability to handle whatever comes your way. If you believed you could handle it, it would take away that fear, wouldn't it? So you just have to believe in the ability that you can handle it. So the fourth truth about fear, not only am I going to experience fear whenever I'm on unfamiliar territory, but so is everyone else. I thought I was the only one that would be afraid of things. Oh, no one else. They look so confident. They look like they're handling great. I'm the only one that's freaking out here. No, everybody has fears. So that was good for me to know because I'm not alone, right? We don't want to be alone. So everyone has fears that they have to figure out what they are and push through them. So that leads to the fifth truth. Pushing through fear is less frightening than living with the underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. I don't know if you've ever had that helplessness feeling before. I bet most of us have at one time or another. I don't like it. It's all-encompassing, and it's negative, and it's suffocating, and I just don't like that at all. So I'd rather conquer that fear than go through that. So we moved... hold on. Okay, so the more you expand your comfort zone, the more powerful you become. How do you move from a position of pain to a position of power? And you really have to find the power within yourself. And I challenge everyone to do something every day outside of your comfort zone. And it could be something like, for example, when we moved to Indiana 3 years ago, we didn't know one person. Not one person. I'm not saying move. You don't have to move to conquer to do this. But I was so on unfamiliar territory. Whenever I walked the dog, I would challenge myself to take a different street, go explore that neighborhood. When I drive around, go to Indianapolis, take different roads, and then try to get home without my GPS. I got lost a few times, but it helped me learn the neighborhood. And then you have to, no warm market with my business. I had to go meet new associates that were unfamiliar to me. How are they going to perceive me? It was really strange at first, but they were warm and inviting, so it got better. And so I had to do my business with cold, cold market. So I don't recommend it, but if you ever have to move to a new city, you will definitely get out of your comfort zone. Has anyone else experienced that before? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So we have decisions that we need to make all the time. The knowledge that you can handle anything that comes your way is the key to allowing yourself to take healthy, life-affirming risks. One of the biggest fears that keep us from moving forward with our lives is our difficulty in making decisions. Closely tied to that is our panic over making the wrong decision. So that paralyzes some people. It's like, oh, what if I make that wrong decision? I can't make any kind of a decision, so it paralyzes people. You're not a failure if you don't make it. You're a success because you tried. So try. And we have a kind of a thing in our family that, you know what, try to make the best decision and then make it right. If it turns out that maybe that wasn't the best decision or something, sometimes you just don't know, but you could always make it right. Always turn that kind of not the best decision into a better decision, okay? So I challenge you to make, say yes to more things. Don't be afraid of saying yes, like taking on the MVP role again. We're all going to help him, right? For sure. Okay, so there are some success principles that I love. Jack Canfield, who we're going to see next month, said, "The universe doesn't pay you for what you know. The universe pays you for what you do. But a mindset in the right place plus a skill set equals success." So I don't recommend that you wait on the mindset to get your skills in place either. You have to do them both. And don't wait for laser sharp skills before you go out and do it. Go out. Make mistakes. Learn how to do it. That activity, I'm all about that. In fact, before I even marketed my first membership almost 15 years ago, I hadn't even read the brochure. But I knew that it gave families their will. So I called all my friends, "Hey, do you have your will done?" "Okay, I'm coming over." And I just went, "Oh, yeah, it's right here. You can get your will." I mean, I'm all about action. So it's okay. But get your mind in the right place while you do it. So the first one, top performers have crystal clear clarity with their vision, mission, and goals for their life and business. What is your why? And that is so important to know this. I mean, we hear it all the time. Figure out what your why is. And it can change and evolve over time. Mine has. This is my why. My cute family. Handsome husband. My beautiful girls. All the challenges that come with kids, right? We love to travel. This is in a cenote in Mexico. Oh, my gosh, when you're hot and sweaty. And then you go to the cenote with that fresh water and the fish nibble at your feet and everything. It's so much fun. You've got to get there. Again, we love to travel. This is the beach at the Dominican Republic. It's like baby powder. So nice. Love to go four-wheeling, go on trips, borrow toys from Mr. Hall and have a ton of fun. We like to go on our own little retreats. This is a bed and breakfast in Driggs, Idaho, behind the Tetons, where we do our dream building and plan our goals for every year. Before I jump into that, Darnell South came to Utah years ago and went four-wheeling with us and shooting guns and everything. And at the break, when we were having lunch, my husband asked him, he said, "What does it feel like to be on the other side of money when you don't have to worry about money?" And he said, "There is a peace, a feeling of peace that you can't explain. When you don't have to worry about the bills, about money at all, you know you can help people if they need it, help your family members. It's just this feeling that you can't describe." That is my why. I want that so bad. I want to not have to even worry about money, even think about it. I just want to enjoy life and have that freedom. So that's my why. But you have to figure out what your why is for you. Okay. Number two, top performers have established success habits and disciplines. Make your day intentional. And I learned this from a good friend of ours, Travis Alexander. He's passed away now. But in his home, he would write out little pieces of paper all around his home and write down everything he was doing that day. And it'd be timed out, wake up, get dressed, pray, get dressed, exercise. I mean, everything was broken down. And I found that when I do that, my day is so intentional that if anything comes in and knocks me off that schedule, it keeps me on track. Keeps me on track. I know what I'm doing. And if there are any gaps in that, I might get distracted. So if you fill in your day and make it intentional, then you're going to get done what you want to get done. So I love that. I learned a lot from him. Number three. Study and live the law of the harvest. We talked about this a little bit last night at Performance Club. Now, you'd think it was kind of crazy if a farmer worked and worked and worked, got his ground prepared, and then off he went. He went on vacation. He came back when it was ready to harvest. And he'd go, "Why didn't anything grow? That's crazy, right?" Or he'd prepare his field, plant it, and then away he went. Didn't make sure it was watered. Didn't make sure it was taken care of. And then when he came back, he probably won't have a plentiful harvest if he didn't keep track of that. And that's the same with our business. We have to prepare, plant, cultivate, grow, and harvest in our business as well. I know with the B2B division that as I meet with companies, there's a little bit of waiting time before they launch. Sometimes they wait till that fourth quarter, and that's okay, because I know I'm planting those seeds, I'm preparing, I'm planting those seeds, cultivating them, staying in touch with them, and then bam, that fourth quarter is when I harvest and reap my reward. And I know that about my business. So you'll know that in the network marketing. They do the same thing. They have to prepare, plant those seeds with new recruits, stay in touch with them, follow up, get them to briefings, all of that. And then they're going to plant their harvest when they say, yeah, I'm in. And then they level up and all of that. So there's a process in all of our business, in both sides of our business. Okay. So study the law of the harvest. Stephen Covey is excellent at going over the law of the harvest. So get, what book is it? That 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Yeah. Yeah. Number 3, top performers are responsible and take ownership for their results, and they are action-oriented. Take responsibility to set your goals and act on it. Most of us don't sculpt our lives. We're in wait mode. We spend our lives waiting for the perfect mate, waiting for the perfect job, waiting for the perfect this, that, whatever. Perfect friends. But there's no need to wait. We have the power to create our lives. Just go out and do it and get it. So we're going to play a little video. If someone would get the lights.
All right, here we go. For real this time. I can do this. I hate you.
You've ever felt that before? Oh my gosh. Sometimes you just look and you have people that said, call you. And you're still hesitant. It's like, oh, maybe they were joking. Maybe they were teasing me. I don't know. But it's sometimes that phone looks so heavy, right? But here's some statistics. And I call my middle name. I'm Deanne Patiently Persistent DeBell. I've been told by people that I followed up on for years even, wow, you're really persistent. Not that I'm being a pest. I'm following up when they told me to. And I don't give it up. I always leave a contact or, open-ended so that I can follow up and contact them later. It could be years down the road. So I love these stats. A study at Notre Dame by Herbert True said that 44% of all salespeople quit after trying the first call. That's almost half after calling once. Isn't that crazy? 24% quit after only the second call. 14% quit after the third call. 12% quit trying to sell to their prospect after the fourth call. That's, add those together, 94% of all salespeople quit after the fourth call. Now, that could be calling someone to recruit, calling someone for a membership, calling a business owner in our B2B division. But 60% of all sales are made after the fourth call. Knowing this, how many of you are going to make more calls? I need to see more hands than that. All right, good job. That makes sense. If you know that you have to make at least 4 calls or more to get that sale, it's way worth it. It's so worth it. In fact, when we ran the arcade, I remember someone coming in with a brochure. It was probably prepaid legal. They just said, here, you might want to look at this. That's all they said, and I tossed it in the garbage. Now, there's a key. If that person would have set an appointment with me, shown me the information, and followed up, can you imagine how that could have helped us through our lawsuit and everything? They could have reviewed our contract before that even happened. So just a key. Hang in there. Follow up. And you think about it. How many emails a day do you get? lot? And any business owners in the room, how many phone calls do you get a day that go to voicemail and you go, oh, I'm going to call them. And then you get busy and you don't. And then how many emails you go, oh, I've got to answer that. But, oh, it's kind of, you have to prioritize. That's what they're doing too. They're busy. It's not that they don't want you to call them or follow up. It's just that the timing's not right. So hang in there and be persistent, okay? So great news. All three of these attributes are a choice. You can choose to do them or not choose to do them. You are already a top performer, and all it takes is for you to realize that is to learn and live some core habits. So get those habits and that structure and pack your calendar full. If you have a gap in your calendar, that gap should be working on filling up the rest of your calendar. And that's how I do my business. If I don't have a full week, man, I am on the phone filling it up. And I learned that at the beginning, meetings make the money. Whether that's sitting down with someone, taking someone to a briefing, whatever that meeting is, and then you'll make the money. So I guarantee it. Just pack your calendar. Okay, so it's really important to me, and I'm a pretty positive person, but we need to think positively. 90% of what we worry about never happens. That means that our negative worries have less than a 10% chance of being correct. So knowing this, doesn't it make sense to not worry so much? You know, why worry when we can just be happy? Think positively will pull us closer toward finding our own power. And I've asked Andrew to come up and help me. Come on up. And then Janae, our new qualifier bonus recipient, she's going to come up and help me too. Okay. Yeah, give him a hand. Okay. So, Andrew, I want you to stand here. Okay. And then Janae. Okay, so, Andrew, I want you to raise your arm and hold it as tight as you can and don't let her push it down.
Okay.
Okay?
Just not hanging over.
And then, what's that? And then, Janae, I want you to try to push his arm down, okay? Yep. Ooh, okay. So is it hard to do? So how was that? Was it difficult?
With one hand, that was a little difficult. When I added a little more pressure, and I think I kind of caught him off guard, though.
Okay. And you weren't resisting? I mean, you're a strong guy. So.
I really resisted.
Okay. He resisted a little bit.
Dave was watching.
Okay, so now, Andrew, I want you to close your eyes and say out loud 10 times, I am a weak and unworthy person. Say it out loud 10 times.
I'm weak and unworthy person. I'm weak and unworthy person. I'm weak and unworthy person. I'm weak. That's 10 times. An unworthy person. I'm weak and
that's
unworthy
five.
Person.
Okay. One more.
I'm weak and unworthy person.
One more.
I'm weak and unworthy person.
One more.
I'm weak and I'm unworthy person.
One more.
I'm weak and I'm unworthy person.
Last one.
I'm weak and I'm unworthy person. Yes.
Okay. All right. So now I want you to do it again. It's all good.
Okay.
Now hold out your arm and try to resist Janae pushing it down. Okay. Pretty good. Try. Yeah.
Which is actually good.
Yeah, try to.
Oh! Okay, all right. Now, I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
We got to build it back up. Say, I am a strong and worthy person 10
I'm
times.
I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong and I'm worthy person. I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong
seven,
and worthy person. I'm strong
eight,
and worthy person.
Nine.
I'm strong and worthy person. I'm strong
10.
And worthy person.
Okay. Well, hold up your arm again. And try to push it down. Whoa. Whoa. All right. Yes, you are. You're built all back up. Good job. Okay, thanks so much for your help. Give him a hand. Okay. When I did that in Indianapolis, you start to tell yourself that, and he would believe it, and his arm just went down when you did it in Indianapolis. So, I know, Andrew, you're just stronger than the majority of men out there. So, the power of the words we speak are so incredible. Negative words make us physically weak. Positive words make us physically strong, and you have to believe that. The inner self doesn't know what's true or false. It doesn't judge. So the inner self, it only reads what you tell it. It's interesting. We can trick our inner self. So stop feeding yourself negative thoughts. They take away your power and make you more paralyzed from your fear. So how do we do that? So I love the power of I am. I heard a training by Chris Hughes years ago, and it stuck with me. It was so brilliant. It just changed my whole psyche. I am are the two most powerful words that you can tell yourself. How many of you saw the Michaela Schifrin, her thing on NBC, where her coach, she wasn't doing all that great. She wasn't believing it, and so he wrote I am on her glove, and that just turned her right around. That was really critical for her and her career. So you get to choose what follows the I am. Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it will achieve, by Napoleon Hill. You've got to believe it. And here's some I ams. I love every day, start your day with I ams. And I want you right now on your paper to write down 10 I ams that you're going to tell yourself every day. When I'm going to decision maker meetings or employee benefit presentations and things like that, in the car, I'm pumping myself up. I am confident. I am successful. I have a clear voice. I am attracting those that need our benefit. I mean, I'm just on and on. I am, I am, I am. And keep them all positive. So how are you doing? Everyone write 10 down? Give you another 30 seconds. Write down I am. Okay, so don't ever say, I am unlucky. I never get a break. I am so broke. I'm in debt. You are inviting the struggle, and you are inviting lack. And don't say, I'm not good enough. Say, I am a child of God. I can do anything. Don't invite weakness by saying, I am unable. Say, I am qualified. Okay? Oh, do we need that back at all? Everyone got some? Okay, so this is my cute car that I bought for Mr. Hall. I love it. It's so fast and fun. That's our cute home in Indiana when we lived there. And this is my license plate. I'm such a firm believer, and I am, that I put it on my license plate. And people ask me all the time, what does that mean? And I get to tell them. So I love that. Okay, so the power of I am, be positive or be quiet. You don't want to give life to those words. Words are like seeds. When you speak something out loud, you give life to what you're saying. You can't talk negative and have a positive life. You can't talk defeat and expect to have victory. You can't talk lack and expect to have abundance. So make sure what you're telling yourself is, whatever you tell yourself is going to follow you, basically. Are you blessing your life by your words, or are you cursing it? Nothing happens until you speak. Say the I ams out loud, verbalize them so that your inner self and everything hears it. Okay. So here's a little video that I like too. If you wouldn't mind getting the lights. And this is Rock Thomas. This is just part of it. So go home and find this on YouTube and watch the whole thing. Okay.
The most powerful force in the human psyche is how we describe ourselves to ourselves. Who's giving you labels? You're too short, you're too tall, you're quiet, you're introverted. And you take on those labels and you wear them like they're your persona. And then you live into them, like a role that you were given in life. You can rewrite that. You can make it whatever you want. Insert it and then program it. I am. I am. You are what? Gifted, guided, grateful, powerful, passionate, playful, sexy, sensual, sensitive, and blessed. What are you? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you get to redefine yourself. So who are you? And who do you want to be? The words that follow I am follow you.
Okay. Find that on YouTube and watch the whole thing. So how many of you are going to change what you're saying to yourself?
I am.
Good job. Okay. Don't ever, ever quit. Write in your notes, what is it going to take for you to quit? Can you think in your mind what it might be that would push you into quitting? I was in Performance Club for about almost 5 years, and then I had a neck injury. And I mean, I couldn't walk hardly. I couldn't drive. It would rattle my spine, and the nerve pain in my arms were just incredible. And it was horrible. I got addicted to pain pills for a little while. It took me 3 days and nights to walk around the living room and the couch to get rid of that feeling. But I had used up my warm market for a year while doing that. And then I just couldn't go out and do business. So I was pretty much done. I dropped out of Performance Club, and it really knocked the wind out of my sails. Going that long. And it hurts when you're in a month and drop out, right? But I took some time. I decided, okay, I need to get better. I need to get well. So I took some time to take care of me, nurture my children, and nurture my marriage. And then I found a great chiropractic homeopathic doctor that started healing me. And with the help of my Heavenly Father and him, I believe, over time I got better. And so I took another year, got well. And during that time, I mean, I really just put my Legal Shield business on the back burner. I really wasn't doing very much. So when I came back, I stayed at Director because you never go down from there, which is a good thing. And then not long after that, we went to a convention. And at that time, they were doing this Drive for Director promotion. And they were popping executive directors. You'll probably remember that, like crazy. I'll never forget it. It was like everyone was going executive director. Well, I didn't have structure in place. I'd just, taken off a year of my work, of Legal Shield, that at convention I was so frustrated. I let that internally tell me that I wasn't good enough. And I was ready to quit. I called my husband from convention and said, I'm done. I'm not even going to go to any other thing here at the convention. I'm just done. And he said, no, you stay. You go to the convention. Let's talk about it when you get home. So when I got home, I was still ready to quit. I'm done. I'm just totally done. You see, I'd taken that year taking care of me, but I hadn't built my mindset in that. I don't know. It was just, I wasn't ready for that yet, maybe. But he pulled me off the ledge. So I'm so grateful that I didn't quit. Because if I had quit back then, I wouldn't be where I am now today. And it's not just the income. It's the joy of helping people with this membership. We had other things happen to us that I could have quit. The apartment complexes that I managed in Park City for over 20 years, I put more steam in it after that into my business, and it really reflected on my property managing. I was burned out. I didn't want to do that anymore. So I was fired the day after Christmas, about 4 years ago. And then that next August, my husband was laid off from his job after 22 years. That happens to a lot of people now, doesn't it? And so I just put more steam into my business. We could have quit. I could have gone and managed other properties, opened a court reporting firm, done whatever. I had other choices. But I wanted this to work. So we stuck and stayed, and we ended up having to move to Indianapolis, Carmel, which was really a blessing because that got me out of my comfort zone. If that hadn't have happened, I don't know if I'd be here. Because that gave me power that I never knew I had. It pushed me. It pushed me, and it made me realize that the United States is huge. I can do business anywhere. Sometimes we think we're just here, but we have this whole, nation that we can do business. So we need to think bigger about that. So I didn't quit, and then that next January, I went platinum for the first time. And I've got to thank my team, too. My team writes just as much business as I do. So I'm very, very grateful. I love everybody on my team. They're amazing. And then the next year, put more steam into it. The next year, and then we moved back to Utah. But I went platinum 4 on my own production. But I went platinum with my team. I broke a gold ED, a silver ED, and an executive director. So I went double platinum that year. And then this year, because of production, again, that harvest, I know my fourth quarter is going to rock. Went platinum two, and platinum two in February as well because of a special forces thing that they do. So without that growth experience that I had, I don't know if I would have quit, but I'm sure glad I didn't. So I encourage all of you, don't ever, ever quit. You might get frustrated and find someone that can build you up like my husband did. Get a workout partner that believes in you, that will help you do that. Maybe it is a family member. Sometimes our family members don't support what we do in our business, so find someone outside of that. That is so important. So I just want to finish up. Commit yourself to pushing through the fear. Work on your skill set and mindset. Become more than you are at the present moment. You deserve all that you strive to be. The you that could be is absolutely colossal. So get out there and do it. Fight that fear. Well, I was going to introduce my champion volleyball partner, but I'm going to bring Mr. Mike Bertot up again. Mr. Bertot, he's been a friend from day one in this business, and I so appreciate his friendship. Great business partner. This event probably wouldn't happen without the support that he gives our marketplace. So I'm going to bring up Mr. Bertot again. Woo-hoo.
I'll have you stay up here.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Are you on here? I am loud enough, I'm sure. But, you know, Mrs. DeBell, again, thank you for your time. You know, it's so awesome, again, to have talent in our marketplace like Deanne DeBell to come up here and share what she did today. You know, because everybody's journey is different, but there are similarities in everybody's journey. So some of the stuff that she may have experienced, some of you in the room might be experiencing right now, and I hope what she has shared has helped you, and what Mr. Hall will share here coming up will be just as powerful. But we actually have a gift for you, Mrs. DeBell, just as a thank you from the state of Utah for what you've done today. So if the ladies at the front table are listening... Waiting.
Michelle.
Yeah, give Deanna a standing ovation in the meantime.
Thank you.
Just a little something to say thank you.
Thank
some
you.
Flowers for you and a movie night for you and Todd, you know.
Ooh.
If y'all don't know, this is the proud supporter right here, the
yes,
biggest cheerleader.
My sweetheart.
Mr. Todd DeBell.
he's my cheerleader.
So the DeBells, you know, we wouldn't be here in the state of Utah without leadership like theirs. And with that being said, you know, that was awesome, you know, but that's just the first part of the training that we've got lined up today. The next gentleman, you heard from him earlier today during the business briefing presentation, but this is a gentleman that's been here nearly 20 years in the world of Legal Shield, literally a pioneer in the state of Utah. And events like this didn't exist in the state of Utah when he got started. You know, him and the help of a few other people that are still in the room from all those years ago were the pioneers. They built the foundation that we are building on still today. Today, he's a platinum executive director. He's a millionaire club member. New $200,000 ring earner. Give it up for Mr. Dave Hall.
Awesome. All right. Leave that photo there for one second. I'll tell you when it's again. All right. Real quick, Mr. Bell put this picture up here, but there's such a great story behind this. I was hoping she was going to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it I'll tell it real quick. So this is our big team event in San Diego. And for years, the Hughes brothers always had a volleyball team at the tournament that was undefeated for years. And they cherry picked the best players, athletes off of our teams and made their team, and then they ran the tables. It was like back in grade school and they played dodgeball and they lined everybody up against the wall and you were the last person there standing and nobody chose you. So they've got these brackets like the NCAA basketball tournament and all these teams, and I hadn't chosen a team. I just didn't really think about playing volleyball and stuff. And at the intermission, I'm like, what the heck? Let me see if I can find someone that will play volleyball. So I went and found Mr. Ryan Race, and he's back here in a boot. He's in a cast. I'm like, Ryan, are you playing volleyball? He's like, well, I got a broken leg. I'm like, are you playing volleyball? He's like, well, I got a boot. I'm like, are you playing volleyball? He's like, yeah, I guess I can. So I got a handicapped person to agree to come play volleyball with me. And then I found Mr. Thomas, and no one had asked him to be on their team. And I'm like, well, you can be on my team then. And then we found a drunk. I don't even know what his name is. But what was his name? Robert. Robert was not sober, and you could smell it from 10 feet away. He could barely stand upright. But nobody had chosen him. So I'm like, Robert, you're on my team. And I needed one more. And I'm looking around, and I see Deanna over there, inner Levi's. And I'm like, you want to play volleyball? She's like, I'm not dressed to play volleyball. I got Levi's, and I haven't played since high school, and I'm no good. And I'm like, wonderful, you're qualified. So we put together a team, and then we went in, and we said, we want to register for the tournament. And they said, well, what's your team name? They had all these team names up there. And our team was just Beat the Hughes. That's the team name. It was like, just Beat the Hughes. We are so sick and tired of those cocky suckers. Just beat them, and we will be happy. We can die happy with a fulfilled life.
They called us the geriatric team because I was the oldest player.
So we put together the thing and had, you know, like four or five rounds. We made it through the first round. We won our game. We made it to the second round. We made it to the third round. Long story short, we went undefeated and we won the whole freaking tournament. Beat everybody. So that is the truth. The only undefeated team in the history of our team event is right there. Ryan, you remember that. That is the only undefeated team ever. Right there. So, all right. Go ahead and pull the plug on that. All right. You guys ready for support training?
Yeah.
All right. So, I got a little bit of disclaimer before we get into the next part of the training. And hold on one second. Where's my phone? Boom, boom, boom. Let me put this over here. That HDMI, the audio came out, Mike. Yeah, I'm going to. Boom. So if you can get that beat up. All right. So if you're recording this, audio or video, at this point this is when you hit the stop button. I'm going to give you some stuff, but I'm giving nobody permission to record it. So whatever, if you got a device and you're recording it, you hit the stop button on anything. We're not going to record this. My part of the presentation's done. It's funny how she said, just never quit. We didn't work this out. I was like, the key to success, guys, is just never quit. And when I saw that at the end of her slides, I'm like, holy crap, she stole my material. I'm going to say, never quit. You just never quit this business. So I'm going to now show you guys who's coming, not next month. In March, most of us are going to be gone to convention. So we have in April, the first weekend in April, we have a $700,000 ring earner coming here to Utah to train. Would you like to learn from someone who's making, say, three times what I'm making? Yeah, $700,000 ring earner. Would it be important to be there? Yeah. Yes, it would. Absolutely. Next Super Saturday is the first weekend in April, and it is... And where is... Come on. Millionaire Club member. Come on, too many clicks in here. Platinum Executive Director... Mr. Mark Riches! Let me tell you. And he is one of the funniest, most entertaining people you're ever going to see in this business. Just a great, great, great man. It's not easy to line up talent like this to come through Utah. Don't miss it. How many, now in retrospect, can y'all understand why I don't want this recorded and shared with other people that chose not to come here today? they chose not to come here today, and guess what? They don't get to know this part of my journey in this business. Y'all do, and I expect everyone to just keep it between us. We don't post it on Facebook or nothing else like that. We have for you, if you choose to come to the event in April, which I know everyone in here will, and I'll bet you there's someone in this room that goes, you know what? I've got a few people on my team that feel like it's hard. If they could have been here today, maybe they could get over their mental block that, oh, Legal Shield's hard. You can get tickets for $15 a piece, 2 for 30, or 5 for 50 to this event. This event will sell out. There will not be extra seats. We got enough tickets for the fire capacity of this room for the fire marshal. When the tickets are gone, the tickets are gone, and then they'll just have to miss that event. My encouragement would be, hey, look, if you know you're going to be recruiting and building and you got people on your team that aren't here, I'd make sure you have enough team to make sure your team can grow. Because coming out of convention in March, they're going to make some announcements that you're going to come out of convention going, hold on, this is my year. They always have huge promotions coming out of convention. You don't want to miss it. We've got some ladies at the table in the back to help you get your tickets. Thank you all for coming out today. God bless. Take care. We'll see you at the top. You're very welcome. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like.